following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. As a current student athlete, I find myself wondering how someone like me can all of a sudden get paid for playing a college sport. If you have similar questions, I will be breaking down the ins and outs of the new college name, image, and likeness rules to keep you up to speed on everything happening in this new world of college sports. Welcome in, everyone. You are listening to episode 9 of Transfer Season. Today, I am joined by my fellow teammate and fellow sophomore, Finn Ruger, who is majoring in business administration. Finn is also from the Pacific Northwest, born in Portland, Oregon, and he was also raised in Switzerland from the ages 2 to 6. Finn, thanks for coming on today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
So I want to start with Switzerland. What city was it that you grew up in?
I grew up in Bern, Switzerland.
And that's where both your parents are from, or were they from different cities?
So both my parents are from Zurich, and they both moved to Bern for work when they had us.
What do your parents do for work, or what did they do?
So my dad still works in the shoe industry. At the time, he worked for Adidas. Now he runs his own shoe design company called iGenerator. And my mom at the time was just going through school, and now she is a yoga instructor.
Hey, yoga. Your dad's got to hook me up with some shoes, though. Do you have any? Are you sporting any?
He mostly works with bike shoes, like actual cycling shoes, so not super into those. He does a little bit with like running shoes, and he worked with the Li Ning, which was the Dwayne Wade basketball brand, so I got to try out a few of those. For the most part, though, most of the shoes he makes, I'm not really digging.
I think Li Ning is CJ's brand, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He's like one of 4 or 5 athletes that actually sport Li Ning.
Only the best of the best gets sponsored by Li Ning. Okay, so obviously you grew up in Switzerland in Burns from ages 2 to 6. Do you remember anything from that time, or like how much do you remember from living there?
Yeah, I mean, most of my memories from there are like sort of stuff being told back to me. I do have like vague memories of going to like daycare there. Obviously, I know the area pretty well because we go back to visit fairly often. So I know like what the house looked like, the neighborhood and all that. But in terms of like the actual day-to-day activities, that's a little bit more foggy for me.
Yeah, so that was going to be a part of my next question is like how often do you get to visit there? Because I know you still have family who lives there. So do you get to visit there often? And if so, when was the last time you were there?
Yeah, we try to go as much as we can. We used to be on a pretty like consistent every other summer we'd go. And most of my family's in Zurich, so we usually go there. And then Bern is like a 90-minute to 2-hour drive, so we always just make a trip down. It's a super nice downtown. And then we go visit the neighborhood. We're still really good friends with the our next-door neighbors, so we always go have some like drinks with them, and that's really nice. So, but the last time I went was last summer. That was fun. And then we're trying to go again this summer. We're not sure how realistic that is, but hopefully we can make another trip.
That's got to be pretty cool getting to visit your old friends and family and even neighbors, like you said. It must be hard, though, when you have 2 other brothers and, you know, a pretty big family. It must be kind of tough to figure out the logistics of all of that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially now we've got, I mean, I myself am in college. My older brother is getting his master's at Bushnell University. Younger brothers, you know, figuring out where he wants to go to school. So, yeah, especially now it's pretty tough. This summer, you know, it used to be a very like open time for everyone, and now it's sort of a trying to figure out what we want to do for the next coming years and things like that.
So your brother, he runs at Bushnell and he used to play soccer as well. Your younger brother, is he starting to look at any colleges right now? And if so, where's he thinking on going?
Yeah, so I mean, he's starting to look the earliest out of all 3 of us. I mean, I really didn't start paying attention to any of the college stuff until maybe like the end of my sophomore year. My older brother about the same. And yeah, my younger brother, he's a freshman right now and he's pretty actively looking. My mom told me she asked him where he wants to go to school, and his only response was he wants to play D1 soccer. So
gotta love it. High expectations for him. You know, do you think he can go D1? Like, what do you think, how realistic is that for him?
Yeah, I mean, he's 100% got the the physical build for it, like all that. I mean, he's built differently for a 14-year-old. And I mean, I've been to a lot of his games, and he's technically super gifted. I think, I mean, if he just keeps prepping himself the way he is, I think he 100% can go D1.
Yeah, I think I've seen some pictures of you and him sitting next to each other, and he does not look like the little brother. You know, he's definitely not your average freshman. But moving on to your time here at Dominican and your time as a soccer player here, when you were thinking about colleges, like you said, what drew you to Dominican, and why did you ultimately decide to continue your academic and athletic career here?
So in my college search, all I really knew was that I wanted to go somewhere on the West Coast. I was looking at a lot of schools in California, a few in Washington, a few in Colorado, and I made two real like college trips. First one was down to SoCal, and I liked a lot of the schools I looked at. I knew that the SoCal weather would maybe be a little much for me, so when I made my NorCal trip, I just sort of gathered a list of schools. Honestly, Dominican wasn't on my initial list of schools I wanted to go to, but when we were sort of in the Bay Area, it sort of just popped up, and we were like, let's check it out, and contacted the coach. He gave us a little tour, and I mean, the campus was just like amazing to walk around, so that was a big factor for me.
Yeah, the campus is definitely something else. It's just amazing when you first walk around and you see all the greenery and just how nice of and well-maintained of a campus it is. And then obviously the academic side of it is very important, and they have a really strong business program, strong nursing, strong academics in general. And then the soccer team as well is definitely on the rise, got a great coach, great group of guys. What's been your favorite memory on and off the field in your two-year history at Dominican?
Oh, that is tough. I would say favorite on-the-field memory was probably our overtime win against Chaminade. I think that was just super hype. That was sort of my first real like crazy winner college experience, so that was really cool. Off the field, I would say was moving off campus. I think that's been like a super fun experience for me. It's just like the sort of individualism it gives you, and just like being able to live on your own. Obviously living with a bunch of other soccer players has its downsides, but it's also very fun. So that's been really cool.
Yeah, living off campus is definitely a big change from freshman year when we were in the dorms. You know, you have freedom, but it's not nearly the same as it is now. You know, you have to cook for yourself. You really just have to be an adult, really, for the first time in your life. And it's a huge life-changing event, but it definitely, like you said, has its upsides. So soccer is your main sport and your main focus right now. Do you have another favorite sport, specifically college sport, that you either like to watch or play?
Yeah, 100% for me, it's basketball. I got into basketball just as a kid playing it. And then obviously with the Blazers being in Portland, I was really drawn to that. And then sort of as my interest in the sport grew, I sort of realized just how big the college basketball world is, and how many fans there actually are. Because I mean, obviously with college soccer, there's mild interest. It doesn't have nearly the stage that, you know, something like March Madness has. So definitely college basketball, I think, is really cool.
Yeah, you know, March Madness happening this past month or two or so, it's definitely one of the most exciting sporting events that you'll ever get to watch. There's really nothing like it in all of sports. College basketball, the regular season is okay, but once March Madness and the tournament starts, there's nothing like it. It's just a joy to watch beginning to end. So keeping on the idea and topic of college sports, what do you think of college sports, your college athletes being able to get paid now? Do you think that it could potentially ruin the sport like a lot of people are talking about, or do you think it's ultimately good for college athletics?
I mean, I definitely do see the sort of pressure that it can put on these like young athletes. I mean, they're still essentially teenagers and they're getting these like huge brand name deals. So I do see the pressure that comes with that and how that can be difficult, but I see it as way more of an upside than a downside. I think that for one, obviously just making money in general is great for these young athletes, especially athletes that come from places that they probably don't have a lot of money. And then obviously I think it just prepares athletes a lot better to go into the professional field, where obviously money is a huge factor and they're going to be a lot more ready for that because of the NIL stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, one of the main points I've been trying to make in my previous episodes is that NIL doesn't really have any guidelines or restrictions right now, and it's pretty much just free game. And because of that, you see a lot of coaches complaining that players basically have all the control and power now and where they want to go. They can basically just choose the highest bidder, who, like, whichever school is going to pay them the most money, and based on that, that's where they're going to want to go, even though it may not be the most ideal landing spot for them in terms of their career and player development. Although, I mean, I think the NCAA is realizing this and hopefully adjusting and trying to make changes so that this doesn't continue to happen. Because right now, it's like I said, there's no rules and it's really just like the wild, wild west. Honestly, it's pretty chaotic right now. But moving on to your career and your NIL deals, do you have any NIL deals? And if not, do you have like a dream brand that you would want to partner with?
So I do not personally have any NIL deals. If I could partner with just a single company, it would, I think for me, pretty easily be Nike. Just controversial, we're an Adidas school, but I mean, their stuff for soccer, in my opinion, is like second to none. I've always, or pretty much always, worn Nike cleats, and I've had like pretty much zero complaints. So that would be very, very cool.
Once this episode reaches our athletics department, they're going to be hammering you for that, asking you why you don't want to be a part of the three-stripe life, you know. But I mean, you can't go wrong with Nike. I mean, being from Portland, being from Oregon, how can you not choose Nike? You know, the whole program and how Nike is run and how they take care of their athletes, it's the ideal partnership for most athletic people. You know, it's just that big and that good of a brand. So neither women's or men's college soccer even cracks the top five in terms of sports earning the most name, image, and likeness money. One, why do you think that is? And two, do you think that there's a way for college soccer to eventually crack that top five or even get in the conversation?
I mean, I think the main reason is that just overall the soccer development in America is like so different to a lot of other countries. And I mean, it's a big reason why you see a lot of the American talents, when they are young, move to European clubs, because I mean, that's just where a lot of the better development tends to be. I do think that there is a lot of potential for growth. I think that with the MLS Super Draft, that seems to like be picking up a little bit of speed. There's a lot of bigger names now sort of entering those drafts that actually end up being, you know, big contributors to teams in the MLS. So I think if that continues to grow in the way that it seems to be, I think there is a lot of potential for these college athletes to actually sort of develop a brand earlier on before they become professionals. And I think then we could see some more NIL deals becoming more prominent in college soccer athletes.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to what Cissé was talking about in my last episode, where it's just kind of about the overall growth of the sport here in the United States and how it's so much different in other countries in like South America or Europe, like you were saying. It's just a part of how you develop kids starting at a young age and how they are brought up through the U.S. soccer system. So yeah, that definitely is a huge part to it. But my last question now is, yourself being a collegiate athlete for 2 years, what's something that you were expecting going into college, and what's something that maybe didn't turn out the way you were hoping or expecting it would?
In terms of things that didn't turn out the way I thought they would, I guess would be, I think just the overall commitment. I thought it would, I mean, I knew that it was obviously a much more of a time commitment compared to high school soccer or club soccer, but I guess I didn't expect it to be just as much of a grind as it really is. And I think that definitely my freshman year, that was a huge, huge thing I had to adapt to. And going into my sophomore year, it's been easier to handle, but definitely it's still like striking just how much more time you are spending on the field, you know, off the field, looking at film and just taking care of your body. So I think the overall time commitment was definitely a lot different than what I was expecting.
Yeah, like you were saying, I mean, I had an idea of how hard and how much of a commitment college athletics was, especially at the Division II level, but it's so much more of a grind when you add in school, obviously, to the mix, and then just extracurriculars and everything like that. It's definitely one of the more grueling tasks, but I think in the end it'll be super, super rewarding for all of us having gone through this, and I think it'll benefit us in the end when we come out of this together. All right, well, Finn, this has been awesome. Thank you again for coming on. Really appreciate you taking the time, and have a good one, man.
Thank you for having me.